Yisrael and Lo Sechal Lo Hashem Kodshi. So included in Kiddush Hashem Mechil Hashem is the din of Yehorig Bal Yavar. The Rambam dedicates Perik Hei in Hilchas Yisari HaTorah to the din of 80% of the Perik is about Yehorig Bal Yavar. He starts off Kol Beis Yisrael Mitzuvim Al Kiddush Hashem. Most of the Perik is about giving up your life, Yehorig Bal Yavar. The end of the Perik, the last 20%, is about Kiddush Hashem while you're alive. That a Jewish person represents, every Jewish person represents the Jewish religion, represents the Jewish people, represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and if a Jewish person acts improperly, he dresses like a slob, or he cheats in business, or he does something shady, so it reflects poorly upon the whole Jewish people. So that's a Kiddush Hashem while you're still alive. Then there's a Kiddush Hashem to give up your life, to die al Kiddush Hashem. But perhaps for us, more important is to live al Kiddush Hashem. So part of the dinim of Kiddush Hashem is that if a person, if an anos, a nochri or a Jew, as Rav Soloveitchik used to say, the lashon that appears in the Avnei Nezer, he was influenced a lot by the tshuvas Avnei Nezer. That the Avnei Nezer has a tshuva in Germany. They used to take Goyisha names. The Jews took Goyisha names. So what are they going to call a guy up to that? Yamoid Adolf ben Ludwig HaKoyen. Doesn't sound nice. So they said Yamod HaKoyen, Yamod HaLevi, Yamod Shlishi. They didn't say the name. So the Avnei said, that's terrible. They shouldn't have Goyisha names. But you have to call up the person by his name. He gives the whole reason of the Kabbalah, why you have to call up a name. It's like Hakdosha of the Korban. You have to say it's an Oila, Shlomim, Achatzis. You have to designate what it is. You have to designate who the person is who gets the Aliyah. And he says, they're changing the Minhogim, and the din is Yehorig Bal Yavar, and it doesn't matter whether the Anas is Antiyuchas, a Goy, or the Anas is a Jew, or the Anas is a Reformed Jew. It's the same thing. It's still Yehorig Bal Yavar. It's not only if, that's what Rav Soloveitchik used to say, when Ben-Gurion was the Rosh HaMemshalah in the early years after Hakam Samdina, the first years after 1948. So he started a whole campaign of Mihu Yehudi. He sent a letter to, I think, to 50 Jewish leaders, 150, I forgot already. Sent a letter to different people, how do you define, because on the books in Eretzel there's a law of return, that whoever is Jewish can become a citizen of Eretz Yisrael overnight, and if you're not Jewish, then it takes you much longer to become a citizen of Eretz. So the question is, Mihu Yehudi? So let's say a non-Jew was converted by a Reform Bezin. So is he Jewish or not? Do you recognize? So that's the question of Gira Kalacha. So Ben-Gurion sent this letter to Jewish scholars. Some of them were Orthodox, some of them were conservative, some of them were Reformed, some of them were less than that, some of them were less than that. So everyone gave their own answer. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik used to say about Mihu Yehudi. He, Rav Chaim Heller, had a Beis Medrash in Berlin, where Rav Soloveitchik went to the university, so he used to learn Rav Chaim Heller's Beis Medrash. So he considered Rav Chaim Heller, in a certain sense, his Rebbe. His main Rebbe was his father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, but then when he was in university a couple of years, so he was very kofef to Rav Chaim Heller. So Rav Chaim Heller also was invited by Ben-Gurion to answer the question, Mihu Yehudi? So they signed the letter together. They composed the letter. Sounds like it was composed by Rabbi Soloveitchik. But they signed the letter together, Rav Chaim Heller with Rabbi Soloveitchik. It's all the letters are printed. It's all printed, a whole book with all the responses. So that's what Rabbi Soloveitchik is there. It doesn't make a difference whether the Anas is Antiyuchas or Ben-Gurion. The din is Yehorig Bal Yavar. You're not allowed to change the laws of the Torah, you're not allowed to change the Minhagim. So the Halacha sometimes requires a person has to give up his life on Chilul Shabbos. Usually you say, Pikuach Nefesh is Decha Shabbos. But if the Anus, either the Jewish Anus, either Ben-Gurion or Antiochus, whoever wants to force me to be Mechal Shabbos, if he's forcing to be Mechal Shabbos, Bifar Hesye and Lahavir Al-Adas, their intention is to cause me to violate my religion. Not that the fellow just robbed a bank and he needs someone to drive him in the getaway car. And he doesn't know, Jewish, non-Jewish. He holds the gun and says, you drive me to the airport or I shoot you. So that's not Lahavir Al-Adas. His intention is not to cause me to violate the religion. But if he knows I'm Jewish and I'm not supposed to drive a car and he threatens to kill me unless I do Chil Shabbos, then you don't say Pikoch Nefesh is Dech Shabbos. Since the Aver is being violated, Bifar Hesye, Yehorig Lo Yavar. So how do you know that there's such a din? Because as when it dashed to Besoch B'nai Yisrael, And the Mishnah, the first Mishnah in Sanhedrin says that the word toch is a gzeres shavah toch toch. The word toch in Chumash sometimes has the connotation of a minyan, that you need asara. So that's the original din, that a dovashe b'kdusha needs asara. But that's a din d'oraisa. But Moshe Feinstein writes that the din that you need a minyan, the Mishnah Megillah says, you can only say kadosh kedusha baruch hu, dovashe b'kdusha needs asara. So Moshe Feinstein thinks that's only a din of the Rabbanah. The real din, the dovashe b'kdusha, and the dashta b'soch b'nei sanatoch has the connotation of asara, that's when you get to Yehorek v'yavsar. Moshe thinks that if you have 9 gedolim after bar mitzvah and 1 katan, or you have 9 b'nei chorin and 1 eved, that you can be mitzarefim to the minyan, that's only for dinim derabbanan, you have a right to be mekel a little bit. But on the level of the raisa, for the real din deraisa, of Yehorek v'yavar, we wouldn't say, no one would say that a katan is mitzaref to the minyan, and an eved k'naydi is mitzaref to the minyan. No one would say it over there. That's what Moshe thinks. You're just dealing with dinim derabbanan over here. So there was an old tradition, maybe it's an old wives' tale, there was an old tradition that the cotton, you can be mitzarev the cotton, has to hold on to a Sefer Torah. What does it make better to hold on to a Sefer Torah? He used to make the kid hold on to a chumash, to be mitzarefim. So the Yes Rabbi Soloveitchik, a lot of times when they originally built Maimonides School, where it is now Brookline, so originally it was not in the Jewish neighborhood. I'm not in touch now, I don't know. But originally they had trouble getting a minyan on Shabbos. So a lot of times that would be mitzarif katan to the minyan. So they'd ask Rabbi Soloveitchik the first time, should we have the child hold on to a chumash? He said, better he should hold on to a siddur. He should daven, he should hold on to a siddur. Where did they get this wild idea? So Tosis says, it's a Yerushalmi. The Tosis Memches Amid Aleph says, it's a Yerushalmi. But Tosis says, it's a Tosefer in the Yerushalmi. In the Yerushalmi it says, cotton with Sefer Torah, osim osa sniff. So they misunderstood. If the cotton is holding on to a Sefer Torah, he can make a sniff la'asara, as the Lashon Ababli is. If you have 9 people in a cotton, the cotton could be the 10th one for the minyan. So they said, that's not what it means in the Yerushalmi. It means a cotton can get an aliyah. It's the Yerushalmi saying over what it says in the Mishnah Megillah. How kol olam l'minyan shiva afilu katan, afilu isha. The Mishnah says a woman and a katan can get one of the aliyahs. Means he can't have all the 7 aliyahs. You're not going to have a katan for all the 7 aliyahs. One of the 7 aliyahs, he can have a katan. Also snifla asar, just like over here. 1 katan and 1 eved. You can't have 2 avadim. The Gemara says, Maisa b'Rabbi Eliezer, that they only had 8 b'nei chorin and they had 2 avadim. So 2 avadim, he can't be mitzarf to 8. So they had to be meshachra 1. Rabbi Lezer was meshachra 1 eved, so they had 9 b'nei chorin, and then they had 1 eved, they were mitzarfim. So that's what Tosis says. That's interesting. Tosis says the cotton and the isha, you can make a sniff to the Kriyas HaTorah, but you can't give all the aliyahs. There's such a Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayis writes like that. The Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayis on that Mishnah in Megillah writes, I call olim leminyan shiva. He says the first 3 aliyahs have to be gedolim, and after the basic kriyas haTorah is 3 aliyahs. You never have kriyas haTorah less than 3 aliyahs. There's one Tanya who's of the opinion, we don't accept it, I think Rabbi Yosef, one Tanya is of the opinion that if a Tanya Sibah falls out, Ashenim b'chamishi, so that's a takonas Moshe Rabbeinu that you give either Moshe Rabbeinu or Ezra. The Gemara says, Moshe Rabbeinu made the beginning of the takana, Ezra made more takana. Bottom line, you have to have 3 aliyahs on Sheni Machamishi. Every Monday or Thursday, you have to give basically 3 aliyahs. Then if it's Rosh Chodesh or Chalamon, you give 4 aliyahs. If it's Yom Tov, you give 5 aliyahs. If it's Yom Kippur, you give 6 aliyahs. And the Shabbos, you give 7 aliyahs. But the basic Kriyas HaTorah is 3 aliyahs. So there's one Tanya of the opinion that if you have a Tanya Sibur on a day of the week other than Sheni Machamishi, then you only give 1 aliyah. Why do you give 1 aliyah? Strange, totally strange. Rav Soloveitchik explained that you really only want a lane from the Haftorah, because the Nevi'im all gave Tochacha and Musa. And the whole purpose of a Taina Sibur is to give Musa that people should be Chozer B'tshuva. So the Nevi'im was sent to give Tochacha. That's what some Rishonim say, Dibre Torah Medibre Kabbalah Lo Yafinon. The Gemara has in the first half in Baba Kama, Dibre Torah Medibre Kabbalah Lo Yafinon. So Rashi and Chulin on the side, on the margin, and the Gemara on the base. So they tell you, look in Rashi in the end of Chulin. Rashi pronounces the word Dibre Kabbalah. He says that all the Nevi'im and the Ksuvim were Kabbalah from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, because the Gemara said in the beginning of the Mesichta, The Gemara and the Afei, I think, comments on the pasuk in Chumash. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Alei Elai Hahara. Here it is, Hayomid Aleph, 13 lines on the top. Alei Elai Hahara Etin L'chos Luchas Eben HaTor V'Hamitzvah Shekasavti Lahor Osam. So it means, Alei Elai Hahara Moshe Rabbeinu should climb up to the top of Har Sinai. Etin L'chos Luchas Eben, Luchas Eben is Aseres Adibris. HaTor the rest of Chamish and Chesh HaTor V'Hamitzvah is Mishnah. Shekasavti refers to Nevi'im Uksuvim. Everything in the Vim Uksuvim, all the ideas were told to Moshe Rabbeinu. In Lahorosam Zeh Gemara, had a Paskin Shalos in Edi Gemara. It's not enough mitzvah is Mishnayos. So Rashi writes in the end of Chulam, why do you say Divya Tarmin Divya Kabbalah Le'afina? Why is the Nevi'im Uksuvim called Divya Kabbalah? It's a tradition, it's all a Kabbalah from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu heard all the ideas at Har Sinai. That's how the Gemara assumes in Megillah also. The Nevi'im in the Uksuvim, Bali Ruach HaKadosh, they never came up with new ideas. They were not in this galut to Moshe Rabbeinu. Every inyan and hashkafa was clarified to Moshe Rabbeinu. They just spelled that out. So the Gemara says every idea in Novi has to have a root, has to be rooted in a chumash somewhere. But other Rishonim say in the Shita Gubetz on the first daf in Baba Kama, you don't pronounce the divrei Tam divrei Kabbalah. The Yavin is not that it's a Kabbalah tradition from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. Divrei Tam divrei Kivolah. Kivolah means likbol, means to complain. The Nevi'im were always screamers. They were always complaining at Bnei Yisrael. They were always giving tochacha and musa. So other Rishonim say, divrei Tam divrei Kivolah. You can't learn halachas, dinim deraisa, from the Nevi'im. The Nevi'im's role is to scream to give tochacha. So that's what Rabbi Soloveitchik interpreted. That Tana, Rabbi Yosi, I think, in Megillah, was of the opinion that when a Tainus falls out on a day other than Sheni V'Chamishi, you only give one aliyah. What in the world is that all about, one aliyah? You really only want to learn the Navi, because the Navi gives tochacha. Yusha Hashem v'hi matzai. We call upon all the people to do tshuva. But you can't only learn from Navi. You're giving the Navi the level of chashivas that you give to the Torah. The Gemara has a klal in Megillah, Hamapta b'Navi tzarech shikra b'Torah t'chilo. The one who gets Navi, the one who gets Haftarah, has to learn something from the Chumash first. That people shouldn't think that the Navi is just as important as the Torah. So you really only want to give one aliyah, that someone should lay Navi to give Tochacha, but you can't lay Navi without Torah, so you only give one aliyah. You don't want to give the whole Kriyas HaTorah, just give one aliyah. We don't pass like that, we pass and you need three aliyahs. So we assume that's the reason why you never have Kriyas HaTorah less than three aliyahs. So the Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnayos on that Mishnah, HaKol Olam L'Minyan Shivu, Afilu Kotna, Afilu Isha. Olam L'minyan Shivu means the basic Kriyas HaTorah is really three aliyahs. And the next one or two or three or four, whatever it is, if it's Chol HaMoed, Rosh Chodesh, you give four aliyahs, and if it's Yom Tov, you give five aliyahs, etc. That's in addition to the basic Kriyas HaTorah. So the Kotna and the Isha can't be in the first three. They can only be Olam L'minyan Shivu. That's along the lines that Tosis is interpreting over here. Tosis has this Yerushalmi, that the Kotna, you can make him a sniff. Kotn b'sefer Torah. What do you mean kotn b'sefer Torah? It doesn't have to hold on to a sefer Torah. That doesn't make any sense. Tosis says it's ridiculous. It means l'sefer Torah. Tosis makes a hagor in the Rishonim. They think that it's a mistake in the Ksav Yad that they had. They didn't have any printed text. The manuscript of the Rishonim, they think it shouldn't say kotn v'sefer Torah b'yodah. It means kotn lalos l'Torah. The Mishnah that says a kotn k'gen aliyah is only a sniff. Only a sniff. He gets one aliyah, but you shouldn't have all the aliyahs given to Ketanim. Then Taisus says, even if there would have been such a din, but holding on to a chumash is not going to help. You have to hold on to a sefer Torah, not hold on to a chumash. Then Taisus said, but there's another source also that says about holding on to a sefer Torah. What is that? That's what Taisus quoted from the Pirkei de Reb Lezer. That's on the second wide line in the Taisus Mem Ches Amid Aleph. They quote Pirkei de Reb Lezer, where it says, when you do Ibar Hashana, how big a bezin do you need? So basically, the opening Mishnah in Sanhedrin says a bezin of three is good enough for Kiddush HaChodesh and for Ibar Hashana. L'chatchila, Ibar Hashana. Kiddush HaChodesh is every month. You make Kiddush HaChodesh. Bezin declares, today's Rosh Chodesh. Any given month has to have either 29 or 30 days. Can't have a month less than 29. Can't have a month more than 30 days. So Bezna has to decide whether today's Rosh Chodesh or tomorrow's Rosh Chodesh. Is the previous month going to be Mole or Chosem? Mole means it has 30 days, Chosem means it has 29 days. So the Mishnah has that L'chatchil for Ibar HaShana, once every couple of years, to make Shana Muberes. So you should start with a bezna of three, and then when they see there's what to discuss, they should add on another two and make it into a bezna of five. And then before they declare Shana Zutayim Muberes, they should have a bezna of seven. But by the Eved, Imebrua B'Shloisha will be Muberes, because Mikra then you really don't need the seven. That's a hider, that you should make a more elaborate bezna. Let's say you have a dintar in the Imamunas, you have to have a bezna of three. Bezna of three is a minimum. If you have a few million dollars involved, so the Bali Din may want to have a bigger bezna than three. You want to have more than three. You want to have 25, 85, whatever. So the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, the opening Mishnah, says, Ibra Shana is really basically a bezna of three. In Latchili you have 3, 5, 7, and B'di'evit three is good enough. So there's a pick of the Reb Lezer. It says, for Ibra Shana, you need a bezna of five. Bishloshim ma'abim asashana. The blazer am basara. You need 10. That's the question. A bezna of 10? Don't we usually have a rule in bezna shokel? You're not supposed to have an even number of dayanim on a bezna. It should always be an odd number of dayan. How can you have asara? That's a problem. How can you say asara? So there are a lot of kashas. There are a lot of kashas about this topic of en bezn shokel. The Stipler in his Sefer on Sanhedrin writes, he thinks the answer to a lot of the kashas is that this halacha, en bezn shokel, is not a din when you're putting together a bezn, you shouldn't have an even number of dayanim. It's a rule when you're dashing psukim to establish what's the minimum number of dayanim, so you shouldn't establish, it's halacha in establishing the din. You shouldn't establish the din that you need an even number of dayanim. The din really is a bezna of three. You want to have 10, because let's say there's a big dintar that's dealing with millions of dollars, so they're afraid. You're going to have a bezna of three. They may make a mistake, and it's a lot of money involved. So they want to have 10. You want to have 10, because the halacha says the minimum number is three. If you want to have more than three, you can have 10, you can have 20. There's nothing wrong with going to be shokum. So that could be what it means. There is a Mishnah in Megillah, the Mishnah says, HaKakoes Tisha B'Koyim. If someone, that's in this week's Sedra, B'Har B'Chukosa, if a person was Magdish, he donates to Hegdish, a mansion in the middle of New York City. So what's Bezin going to do? What's the Beis HaMikdash going to do with the mansion in New York City? They can't make a branch of the Beis HaMikdash in New York, unless they're going to make an office for the secretary to accept donations. Okay. But they're probably going to auction it off to the highest bidder, and then they'll sell it, and they'll take the money to fix up the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. So what should be the minimum bid that they should accept for auctioning off this the mansion in the middle of Manhattan? So you have to compose a bezna of 10. HaKakos Tisha B'Koyin. If it's someone with Magdish furniture, a library, Taltalim, so the Mishnah says a bezna of 3, you should assess the value, and then the one is going to auction it off. For Hegdish, should say the minimum bid is so much because we assess that's the true value. And then we'll go auction it off. Whoever gives more will award him the Hegdish. He'll be part of the Hegdish. And if it's Karkoyas, then it says Tisha B'Koyim. We learn that from the Pesukim, you need a bezna of 10. So Tosfos asks the Kasha, they don't have a teretz. How can you establish the halacha that the minimum number of members that you need for the bezna is 10? Is not in violation of the din of Ein Bezna Shokel? Because you can't, that's what the Stipler explained, you can't darshan the Pesukim to establish the din that there should be an even number of dayanim. That's the rule of Ein Bezna Shokel. But if the rule says Kiddush HaChodesh Ibra Hashanah is a bezna of 3, you want to have 10, gizantayit, you can have 10. There's no such, that's not in violation of Ein Bezna Shokel. So anyway, so it says in Pirkei the Reb Lezer, the bezna really make a din is 3. And Reb Lezer says, Lachatchil, you should have 10. So what happens if you don't have 10? So then it says you should take a Sefer Torah. So they put together that here the Gemara says if you don't have 10 people, so you can mimic Tzar Pagotten. So it must be that's what it means over there in the Pirkei of Blazi. You don't have 10 adults, so you're going to be mitzar for cotton, and then it says you need a Sefer Torah. So they're putting together our Gemara with the Pirkei of Blazi. The 10th one is going to be a cotton, and the cotton should hold on to the Sefer Torah. So Taisus says, Hotz klaz baidim. Who says you put together? This here, our Gemara talks about a cotton. That talks about a Sefer Torah. There you don't need 10. You only need 3. If you don't have 10, so you make it look, for ceremonial purposes, so you should hold on to the Sefer Torah. But it doesn't necessarily mean that the cotton is holding on to it. It's not talking about a cotton there. Yeah. Rabbi Soloveitchik used to say that we have the minig that when the Chazan benched his Rosh Chodesh, the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh, to announce when Rosh Chodesh is going to be, some claim that the Mokker appears in the Talmud Yerushalmi. In the Bavli, they never talk about Rosh Chodesh benching. It's never mentioned. It doesn't mean they never had it, but it's never mentioned in the Bavli, that the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh, they announced in Shul. But Yerushalmi was composed before the Bavli. Shalmi was composed by the Talmidim of Rabbi Yechon. Rabbi Yechon was the first generation of Amoraim. The Bavli was completed by Rabbeinu Rav Ashi. That was a few generations later. So in the Yerushalmi, there is a passage that sounds like it's alluding to the practice of Rosh Chodesh benching, that the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh, the Chazmon announced in Shul. Rabbi Reuven Margolius has an essay about that. So he has a passage in the Yerushalmi. He thinks that that's what it's talking about. So we have the meaning that the Chazan holds on to the Sefer Torah, and he says, Chaverim Kol Yisrael V'Nam Rameh. What is that all about? Why does he hold on to a Sefer Torah? So Rav Soloveitchik thought that it's based on this passage in the Pirkei de Reb Lezer. Well, you don't have 10, so the Chazan, so one of the 9 should hold on to a Sefer Torah. In this Matu, if you don't, on the third white line in the Tosfos, Amem Chesam et Aleph, in this Matu, you don't have 10, Mevim Sefer Torah, Vosim Agula, they stand at a circle. So what do you hold on to? It's talking about Ibar HaShonah. So Kiddush HaChodesh, Ibar HaShonah are related. Kviyas HaLuach. What do you hold on to Sefer Torah for? So Rav Soloveitchik used to say, oh, but there's a line in Rav Sadia Gaon Sefer Emunas V'Deyos where he writes, Klal, the Jewish people are the only nation that have a principle of Kol Yisrael Arim Zeh B'Zeh. By Umas Olam, there's no concept of Kohol. There's no tzirif hakol. Each person is an individual. And by Klal Yisrael, there's a concept of tzibur. That's a Marami Prague has that, but it's a Beferish Gemara in the end of Nozir. There's a perik in Nozir that's called Hakusim, or Hagoyim. Hagoyim ein lahem Naziris. A non-Jew cannot be Mekabel Naziris, because the Pasuk says in Chumash that the Nozir is part of the Kohol. So the Goyim don't belong to any Kohol. There is no such thing as the French nationality or the Chinese nationality. There is no nationality. The only goy is the Jewish people. The word goy, the Radak writes in his Michlo. The Radak has a dictionary, a biblical Hebrew. So he writes that the word goy, gimel vav yud, comes from the word giviyah. Giviyah means a body, a human body. So the Jewish people is considered a goy, considered as if there's one big tzir of everybody all together. That's why people and nations of the world usually have a double standard, that when one Jew does cheats in business, or when one Jew is caught by the police for doing something improper, they say, all the Jews are out of him. And if one Chinaman does an Avera, one Frenchman or one British person does an Avera, they don't say, all the British are like that. So we say it's a double standard and not fair. So Rabbi Soloveitchik can say, but Al-Pidin, it is correct. Because by the Jewish people, there's a concept of a Tzirof HaTzibur, and by Umas Olam, there is no such concept. There is no concept that the whole Tzibur together is one unit. By the Jewish people, it's one unit. So if one Jew does an Avera, it reflects on all the Jews. And by the Umas Olam, there is no such thing. So Rav Soloveitchik has this, there's a line in Emunas V'Deyos. Emunas V'Deyos was written originally in Arabic, and we use the Hebrew translation. The Hebrew translation says, Eino Maseinu Uma Ela B'Toyrosa. So Rav Soloveitchik interpreted that that's what it means. And what is Mitzarif, the Jewish people, that is considered a goy? Mika Amachasol Ge'echad Baris, we're the only goy. The Mitzarif is the fact that we have the Torah, and the Umas Olam don't have any Mitzarif, so therefore they're just floating around as Yechidim. That was his interpretation. There were others who interpret the line differently. I think all the contemporary philosophers, they understand Rav Sadia Gaon is saying something else. Rav Soloveitchik thought that he's saying this halachic statement. So by Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibar HaShonah, true that Bezdin declares Kiddush HaChodesh, but Rav Soloveitchik, this was the first Yahrzeit Drasha that he gave after his father passed away, and was printed at the time in HaPardes, a whole long kuntris on Kiddush HaChodesh. He said, the Nusach HaBracha that he's saying, Mekadosh Yisrael v'Rosh HaChodashim, Mekadosh Yisrael v'Hazmanim, on Shabbos, he don't say Mekadosh Yisrael v'HaShabbos. There is one opinion in Arvei Pesachim that even on Shabbos it says Mekadosh Yisrael the HaShabbos, but that's not accepted. Why? Because Shabbos is Kriya B'Kaima from Sheshes Mei Bereshes. V'Yivarech Elokim Yisrael Meshvei V'Kaddosh also, not only was it Mekadosh the first Shabbos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekadosh all the Shabbosim. Lo Asi Lavoi. So he said, Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadosh HaShabbos. The Ribbono Shel Olam is directly Mekadosh Shabbos, but by Rosh HaChodashim, and Yomim Tovim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mekadosh Yisrael, and we in turn are Mekadosh Rosh HaKadoshim, because we in turn are the ones to make it Rosh Chodesh, and that's Mekadosh Yisrael HaZmanim. We're the ones that make it into Rosh Hashanah, we make it into Yom Kippur, make it into Pesach Shavuot, so that's Mekadosh Yisrael HaZmanim. So the question is, but it's not the Jewish people, we should say Mekadosh HaBezdin HaZman, Mekadosh HaBezdin V'Rosh HaKadoshim. So Rav Soloveitchik said, even Bizman that there was a Bezin, the Bezin did it as representing Klal Yisrael. You had rais from the Chumash that the Bezin HaGadol has two roles. It has a role that Bezin HaGadol paskens all the Shaydas. That's the Pasuk in Chumash Dvarim and Parsha Shoftim. It comes to be Elisa on the Mokim if you have Kiponim Chadov on the Mishpat. Vidam Nadam, Idin Adim, and Negel and Nebe, come to go to the Bezin HaGadol, whatever they pasken is binding. Then you have another Pasuk, that the Bezna HaGadol is supposed to be like the Congress, it's supposed to represent Das HaKohol. So some dinim that the Bezna HaGadol does is B'toris representatives from Klal Yisrael. Another dinim they pass cannot, they're representing. Well, the people at Kohol have no right to express their opinion on Hilchus Shabbos, Hilchus Kashrus. The Bezna Paskan B'toris Bezna, not B'toris representatives of the Klal Yisrael. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that the Kiddush HaChodesh is because the Bezin represents Klal Yisrael. And his mother said, there's no Bezin, so the mitzvah goes back to Klal Yisrael. So by our Nihug, by our saying Yalav Yavai Amar Shchodesh and saying Musaf and having a Surah for Shchodesh, whatever you do on Shchodesh, to demonstrate that you hold today's Rosh Chodesh, that's what makes it into Rosh Chodesh. So that's why the Chazan says, Chaverim Klal Yisrael, all of Klal Yisrael together, have a tziruf, you hold on to the Sefer Torah, so the Sefer Torah is mitzar for all the Jews all over the world, and all the Jewish people together are declaring that this coming Wednesday, this coming next Shabbos is going to be Rosh Chodesh, whatever it is. That was his source for that minik. That the minik is the Chazan holds on to the Sefer Torah, is based on this Pirkei de Reb Lozen. He spent a lot of time explaining the Mekoros for the Minhagim, more so than his contemporaries. Yeah, what's the din of a person? Yeah.
The Rabbi Shimon Levi says that a katan can be a snip or a sara. So if it's learned out from the Daraisa of Nikdashim to open Israel, you have to need 10 adult males. And the whole idea of having 10 for a minion, like I think the Marshal points out, that's just like, bring down the Shekhinah, which only really happens when you have 10 males. So where did the Rabbanah or Shimon Levi see in the Raisa that have nine as a katan? How does that work?
A good question. Usually we listen called the Tikkun Rabbani came there, I said, didn't see if Rav Moshe Feinstein is right, then on the level of the Raisa, for the purposes of Yehard Val Yav, you need 10 Anoshim B'nei Chorim B'nei Bris, the whole work, not Eved Echad, and not Kot Nechad, so why should you be makled by Dinam the Rabban? I don't know. It's a very good question. But Rav Moshe has a strong svara. Where do you have a mocker? Where is the mocker to be makel, chisel away I want? So he thinks it's only acceptable by the Rabban. I don't know. That is a good question. Where is the cane there, I said, I don't know. Then the Gemara has, if a person forgot, we'd say a yalav yov on the benching, doesn't have to repeat the benching. So that's on Mem Tes on the base. The Gemara says, Shabbos and Yontif, that you're obligated to have a suda. If you forget to say it, say yalav yov, you have to bench over again. However, on Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed, there's no obligation to have a Suda that you don't have to repeat the benching. What does it have to do whether there's an obligation to repeat the benching? Why does it depend whether you have to repeat the benching? It depends where you're obligated to have a Suda. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that it's the obvious pshat in the Gemara, he was so convinced, the obvious pshat in the Gemara is L'chatchila there's a mitzvah Baruch Hashem Yom Yom, Chol Yom. The Gemara asked on Daf Mem Amud Aleph. The Gemara asked, "V'chei b'yom b'bracha masa b'alayla, ein b'bracha masa." You only recite brachas in the daytime, not b'alayla. Ela b'chol yom v'yom teina me'im b'chosim shal yoy. There's a mitzvah, maybe min haTorah. Baruch Hashem yom yom is a pasuk in Tilim. At least mid the Rabban, there's a mitzvah when there's a special day. Today's Chol HaMoed, today's Yontif, today's Rosh Chodesh, Shabbos. So you should mention something in the davening and in the Birchas HaMazon over the fact that today is Shabbos Yom. If you fail to, so you go to the benching, you go to the davening anyway, if you didn't say. But nonetheless, sometimes we require that you should bench over again. What is that all about? Why do you have to bench over again? So he said, not that you're not Yotze the benching. The benching, you were Yotze. You weren't Yotze the Suda. You have to be kaver the suda, the shame suda Shabbos. How is one kaver the suda? So he said there is a machloikis in Shulchan Aruch. The Gemara has an arbi psochem a machloikis. But do you require en kiddush ala mawakam suda or not necessarily? The Gemara has a machloikis. They used to recite kiddush and shul. So the people who heard kiddush and shul, they're not going to eat the meal in shul. So with the yotzei kiddush and shul, that they have to repeat kiddush at all. So that's a machloikis in arbi psochem daf kuf aleph. Where was the Tosfos where they quoted that? There was a Tosfos on the bottom of Amud Beis. I forgot already where it is. Tosfos quotes the machloikis of Yochanan and Shmuel, where the yesh kiddush alav makom sudim. So we paskin no, ain't kiddush alav makom sudim. So Shulchan Aruch is a machloikis. What does that mean? So the Mechaber quotes the Gaonim Arab, the opinion that you don't need the same definition of suda for the purposes of Ein Kiddush Ala Makom, so you don't need a suda with pas. To be Yotzeh the suda Shabbos, you have to have pas, you have to have bread. Leil Shabbos and Shabbos in the morning. Suda Shlishis, the Ri is Mesupik. Is it necessary to have pas? Maybe you can be Yotzeh suda Shlishis even without pas. That's questionable. But for the first suda Leil Shabbos and the one suda Shabbos in the morning, so that we assume you need pas. So the Geonim came up with a chiddush that the definition of suda for the purposes of Ein Kiddush Ala Makom Suda is not the same suda that you need pas. If you have a little mezainah, so you have a cup of wine, that's also considered Kiddush B'Makom Suda. So what is the nature of the din? So apparently, and the Rosh disagrees, and the Vilna Gaon thinks we should pass like the Rosh. So the Rosh holds that you're only Yotzei Kiddush Makom Suda if you have the Suda with which you are Yotzei the Suda Shabbos. So Rav Soloveitchik interpreted, he was always Machmer for this. His family followed all the traditions from Valojina, and Valojina was founded by Rav Chaim Valojina, Talmud of the Vilna Gaon. So he used to insist, whenever he would go to a Kiddush on Shabbos morning after davening, he would insist that they should give him two rolls, and he would say Hamoitzi, to have Kiddush Makom Suda literally to satisfy the Ashita Sagra al Piha Rosh. What is the opinion of, so he understood this, HaMachloikis HaRishonim, this and many swarm that have this. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that according to the Rosh and the Groh, the nature of the din of Ein Kiddush Ala Makom Suda, the Kiddush is to be kaver the Suda, the Shem Suda Shabbos. You have to have Kiddush before the meal, and then you have to have Haskaras Ritzeya Yalav Yava after the meal. So the meal is sandwiched in between the Kiddush and the Haskara and the Birchas Hamazon, that's kaver the Suda, the Shem Suda Shabbos. So if the person benches, and he forgot Ritzeya Yalav Yava, he was Yotze the benching, but he was Yotze the Suda Shabbos. So we should really require he should wash again and eat another meal, but he's ready to platz, he ate so much. Or he's a poor man, he doesn't have any more food to eat. He can't afford to eat another meal. So they were makel, they allowed him to say, should really be a brachel about tola, what's he saying? Because I wasn't again, the Gemara says, halavai, she's palo adam kola yam kula, to daven shmon esrei a second time. They have tefillas nedove on the weekdays, not on Shabbos and Yom Tov. We don't allow tefillas nedove. On the weekdays, to have a tefillas nedove. But to bench again, mechet eisit. So the Chachamim were makel, he really shouldn't bench again a second. He should really wash and eat another meal, say Kiddush again, and say Ritzei in the Birchas HaMarazin to the end, to be kaver the Suda, the second Suda, the Shem Suda Shabbos. But sometimes it's asking too much of the person, it's too taxing. So they were makel, we permit you to recite the Birchas HaMarazin again, and the role of the Birchas HaMarazin is like the role of the Kiddush before, to be kaver the Suda, the Shem Suda Shabbos. But the Shita Sagoinim, that the Mechaber quotes, there were those who say, Yeshomim, Shita Sagoinim is, that Ein Kiddush Ala Makom Suda is not that you need the Kiddush to be kaver the Suda. No. You're going to say that Tzeya Yalav Yava, that'll be kaver the Suda, the Shem Suda Shabbos. The Kiddush has to be over Yayin Choshuv. So Yayin by itself is not called Yayin Choshuv. Yayin Shebekesher Im Suda, that's Yayin Mo Choshuv. The two Pshatim appear in the Rashbam on Arvi Psochem. So that's what the Gaonim are of the opinion, if you have Kiddush in conjunction with a little cake. You have Kiddush in conjunction with another cup of wine, so that's considered mochosh of a yayin, that's just Kiddush, that's not connected with anything else. That's why you need Kiddush mochosh masudim. So again, so the Gemara says, if chalamoy then Rosh Chodesh, you're not obligated, you're not allowed to fast on chalamoy then Rosh Chodesh, we assume it may be an isa deraisa, because there's a chiyav simcha. There's a chiyav simcha chalamoy for sure, one doesn't observe avelus not on Yontav and not on Chol HaMoed, because Avelus and Simcha are tied to this Asvi. So clearly, Chol HaMoed has the same level of Chiyuv Simcha as you have on Yontav. The mitzvah of Kibbud B'Yoinik appears in Sefer Yeshaya in connection with Shabbos. So from the Gemara, in several places it would appear the Kibbud B'Yoinik only applies to Shabbos. Across the Shabbos, Sonu, Kedosh Hashem B'Chubad. The Pasha Pshat in the Gemara is that Pasuk in Novi Yeshaya is only on Shabbos. Doesn't apply to Yontav. The Rambam somehow won out against the Gemara. The Rambam writes that there are four mitzvahs on Shabbos, two that appear in Chumash, Zohar B'Shamar. Zohar means to recite Kiddush. Shamar means to be Hashem and Shabbos, not to do Maloche. In Shnayim, Shenis Parshu Aydei HaNevim. Two that was spelled out by the Nevim, Kibud V'Yonik. Then the Rambam writes, all four carry over to Yontav. Even Kibud V'Yonik carries over. So somehow the Rambam became more popular than the Gemara. The Gemara is black and white in two different places. The Kibud V'Yonik is only a Shabbos, not a Yontav. And everybody thinks that we have accepted somehow that it applies to Yontav as well. So on Chol HaMoed there is no Chiyuv Kibud V'Yonik, but there is a Chiyuv Simcha on Chol HaMoed. That's why it's Derech Avelus. Rosh Chodesh is not Derech Avelus, but there is a Chiyuv Simcha. So how come? How do you know there's a Chiyuv Simcha on Rosh Chodesh? The Torah quotes in the name of the Goyim in Hilchos Rosh Chodesh. Since the Pasuk says, where's the Pasuk in Noso B'Haloscha? Yom Simchas Chem Adech Merosh Chachech Miskaita Machatzoytzis. So since it says together, Yom Simchas Madechem Rosh Chodeshem is together with Yom Simchas Madechem, you should blow Chatzotzos. That's based on the Chiyuv Simcha. So you see that there's a Chiyuv Simcha on Rosh Chodesh. But Rosh Chodesh doesn't cancel Avelus. So the answer is, Chol HaMoed in Yontav, there's a Chiyuv Simcha b'kum v'yaseh. You have to bosa b'yayin, you have to demonstrate, you have to say hello. The Ramban thinks that Halal may be deraisa, is coming to defend the Baal Halacha's Gedolos. Why the Baha counted the reciting of Halal on Yontav as a mitzvah? So the Ramban makes fun of the Baha. Halal is only mid the Rabbanah. How does he count it? The Taryag mitzvahs, there are millions of mitzvahs mid the Rabbanah. The Taryag mitzvahs, Shenem Ala Moshe Mesinai. There are 613 mitzvahs that are deraisa that were given to Moshe Rabbeinu. How does the Ramban include Halal? Halal was only instituted later. So the Ramban comes to defend the Baal Halacha's Gedolos. He says, no, Halo, the Bahag thinks is their Isa. It's an integral part of Simchas Yontav, the Simchas Aguf, to eat and drink and be merry, and Simchas HaNefesh, to recite Halo. So true, there is a Chiyuv Simcha on Rosh Chodesh, but it's really a Simcha B'Shevi Al Tasa. You're not Mechuyiv to say Halo on Rosh Chodesh. The Gemara says, Rosh Chodesh is Lo Igdish Basiyas Malocha. The Gemara asks, how come you don't say Halo on Shabbos? The Gemara says, Shabbos is not a Moed. So Ramban says, what do you mean it's not a Moed? Moed is a Chiyuv Simcha. Shabbos, there is no Chiyuv Simcha. V'haraya, Shabbos doesn't cancel Avelus. If you would ask anybody, how come Yontav cancels Avelus and Shabbos doesn't? So the simple answer would be, but it's incorrect, simple answer would be, if Shabbos is going to cancel Shiva, cancel Shabbos, you're never going to have Shiva, never going to have Shloshim. That's not the correct answer. Tosfos in Moed Katan, the last parak. Parak Elam Elohan calls to Yerushalmi, that's not the reason why. The reason why is because Shabbos there's no Chiyuv Simcha. Only Yontav there's a Chiyuv Simcha. And Simcha and Avelus are tied to the Sasri. That's the Loshan Gemara. Osi Esed the Rabbi, Medochi Esed the Yochid. Esed the Rabbi and Simcha's Yontav. I think we spoke about it. Oh, it's a different shiur. Maybe we did speak about it. Where the women are Chayv and Simcha's Yontav. Simcha's Yontav should really be a mitzvah Sasei Shaz Mangroma. Women should be Potter. Really, women should be potter from Kiddush, because Kiddush on Shabbos is also a mitzvah of Magrama. So the Gemara Chofim Abayis had a whole derivation. No, Kiddush is an exception to the rule. Women are chayv despite the fact that it says Magrama. Hakel is beferish and chumash. Hakel is a mitzvah of Magrama. Achala maitzukis amatzoi shnas hashmita. It says Magrama and it says beferish. Hakel is hanashim hanashim hataf. So women are mechuyev. Matzah, the Gemara says, is also an exception to the rule. Even though matzah is man grama, women are potter from matzah. And Simchas Yontav is machloikis in the Gemara, in Kiddushin, the end of the first parak, in the first parak in Chagiga, it's a machloikis, and a machloikis, the Ramam and the Ravid, in Ilchas Chagiga, where the women are chayv and Simchas Yontav are not. The Pasuk says, Beferish, Samachta at v'agir v'yosu v'beisecho, v'agir v'yosu v'almona, almona is a woman, and beisecho beis is a ishtoi. So the Gemara has a machloikis amaroim. Tanoim, Amaroim, it's unclear who's talking over there. One bar plukta is a Tana, one is an Amora. How do they live in different generations? How do they correspond with each other? How do they communicate with each other? They didn't live at the same time. I don't know, maybe you had a dream. The Gemara has a machlekes between a Tana and Amora, Abaye and Rabbi Yehuda Anosi. They didn't know each other. So there's a machlekes, the Rambam and the Rabbi, but had a paskan on this issue, whether women are chayiv in Simchas Yontif or not. So if the old women are not chayiv in Simchas Yontif, so how come if a woman is sitting Shiva and Yontif comes, why does he cancel Abelus? The Gemara says, Osi Esed the Rabbim, Doche Esed the Yochid. Simchas Yontif is an Esed the Rabbim, and that takes precedence over Abel Yochid Asiloch. Abelus is an Esed the Yochid. But women are not mechayiv in Simchas Yontif. So the answer is, even if old women are not mechayiv in Simchas Yontif, but the women are part of Klal Yisrael. The Gemara says it's Esed de Rabim. The whole Klal Yisrael is Mechuyev and Simchas Yontif. The women are a little bit, not exactly. Not exactly. So Yontif cancels Shiva even for women. Even if all the women are not Mechuyev and Simchas Yontif, the Loshan Gemara, Osi Esed de Rabim, Dochi Esed de Yochim. Shadav, what about Rosh Chodesh? If the Torah quotes in the name of the Goyinim, that Rosh Chodesh is Chai B'Simchas, Rosh Chodesh should cancel Avelis. There is no such thing. That's ridiculous. You have to say the two levels of Simcha. The Simcha B'Kumbi Asay, then the Simcha B'Shevi Altase. Simcha B'Shevi Altase means, on the level of the Raisa perhaps, that there's an Issa Hesped B'Tainas on Rosh Chodesh Men HaTorah. But there's no Chiv Simcha B'Kumbi Asay. There's no din you have to have Bosa V'Yayin. But you're not allowed to have the Hesped B'Tainas. That's the Gemara has a suffix. If a person forgot Yalav Yavoy on Rosh Chodesh, and he reminds himself before it starts the last bracha Tovah Meitiv, so he inserts a new bracha, Ashenosan Rosh Chodesh and Lama Yisrael. Where's the Gemara? The Gemara gives you the text that you're supposed to say if you forgot. Tovah Lehiskan, the bottom of Mem Tesam and Aleph. The last two lines. Tov lehiske shav rosh chodesh am baruch shenosan baruch atah Hashem elgen malach ha'olam. He say shenosan rosh chodesh lam Israel is the current. He says v'lo yedaina, he doesn't remember what Rav said. Everything is in the name of Rav. Yama basimcha lo yama basimcha. What's the shayl? What they say simcha? Rosh chodesh there is a chiyuv simcha, but it's only simcha b'shevi al tasa. It's not really simcha b'kum v'yaseh. If there would have been simcha b'kum v'yaseh, you would have been mechuyav to say hallel. The halal is only a minig, and the minig in Eretz Yisrael, they never had the minig. The Gemara says, Rav Ikla Lebovel. Gemara tells in the end of time, as Rav came, Rav was learning by Rabbi Yehuda Anosi for years, he got smicha, that's why we call him the rabbi, Rav, the Rav. Then he came to Bovel, he moved to Chutz Lortz in order to be Marvitz Torah. Rav and Shmuel both went to Chutz Lortz to teach Torah there. So Rav says they were all big Amaratzim. They didn't know Hilchas Basa B'Cholav. They didn't know Hilchas Shabbos. They had to introduce all kinds of Harchokas and Gzeiras that they should be observing. So he came to Shul Amar Shchodesh and they're saying Hallo. So there they go again. They don't know anything. Who says Hallo Amar Shchodesh? Never heard of such a thing. And then he realized that they have such a minig. So what is the minig based on? So the answer is, Rav Soloveitchik said, there is an inyan of Simcha Amar Shchodesh. The Simcha is only B'Shit. Rav Soloveitchik said, the Simcha is only a Migdash, not Bigvulin. That's, he had a Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvah, has it like that. Amar Shchodesh, how do you know there's a Chiyuv Simcha Amar Shchodesh? So the Torah quoted from the Goyim of Yom Simchas Madechem Rosh HaShechem, Eskaita Machatzvetz Esal Alasechem Azil Chishal Nechem. So not from the Pesach. So that's a Migdosh. Chutz LaMigdosh is not. So that's what the Gemara's Lashon is. The Gemara in Erech and Daf Yud says, how come we don't say Halal Sholem Amar Shchodesh? It's only a minute that they say Chatzah Halal. Why aren't you M'chui Medina to say Halal Sholem? The Gemara says, because le'igdish basiyas malocha. Since when does the halal depend on igdish basiyas malocha? So the Ramban on the Sefer HaMitzvah interprets the Gemara that this the mechayiv of halal on Rosh Chodesh on Yom Tovim is Simchas Yontif, the Simchas Aguf, eat bas v'yayin, and the Simchas HaNefesh, to recite halal. So the mechayiv of halal is Simcha, and the ikar Simcha is only in the Beis HaMikdash on Rosh Chodesh. It is not noig b'gvulin, but haray that is mutav asiyas malocha. It doesn't spill over. The whole relevance of the kedusha sayam of Rosh Chodesh is only based on migdash. You bring musafim in connection with the musafim, there will be an inyan of simcha. B'chutz lebeis hamigdash, the simcha is not relevant. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik thought. That was the suffix in the Gemara, whether you mentioned simcha or not, because in migdash there was simcha, b'gvulin there's not. One could say along the same lines, but a little differently, Maybe there's simcha b'kum yaseh simcha b'sheva atas. That's my way of saying it. So the Goenim said there's a din of simcha min haTorah on Rosh Chodeshim. It's simcha b'sheva atas. Isa hesped v'tan. V'no chiyev simcha b'kum yaseh. So that was perhaps the suffix. Whether you should mention the simcha in the Baruch HaShanasin Rosh Chodeshim l'ama Yisrael. Because it's only the element of Simcha B'Sheva Al Tasa. That's why I suggested. Called the Tikkun Rabbanan came there, I said, Tikkun, the whole Megillah's Tainus. The whole book of Megillah's Tainus. Rashi writes, why is it called Megillah's Tainus? Because it was Biksab at the time that the Mishnayos are still being recited by Peh. The Heter to write down the Mishnayos was way later. Rabbi Ranasi edited the Mishnayos, but Rov Achroinim and Rov history books assume that they didn't start teaching Mishnayos mitoch haksab till the days of Ravina Ravashi. Ravina Ravashi edited the Talmud Bavli. That was not written down until centuries later, also in the days of the Goinim. They have documented evidence. In the days of the Goinim, there was a fierce machlokes whether they should write down the Talmud Bavli or not. And it's a mazal that they wrote it down. If they wouldn't have written it down, everything would have been lost and gone forever. We'd know anything. So all of the Amim Tovim and Megillas Tainus were introduced by the Chachamim during the period of the Bais Sheni, and they listed off, and Megillas Tainus starts with this, and here Sivan goes in order, and all of these days are also, why is it called Megillas Tainus? These are holidays that it's also Lehissanos, and some of them, the Lo Lemispet Bahon, the Lo Lehissano Bahon, some of them you're not allowed to say Hespet either. So that's Simcha B'Shevi Al Tasa. There's no Simcha B'Kum, I say the one and only Yontif in the whole Megillas Tainus has a chiv simcha b'kum ha'aseh is Purim. You have lasses and memishta v'simcha mishloach manasei shalurieyu matanis la'yam, you have a chiv simcha to have a suda. Even Chanukah, it says in Shulchan Aruch, the sudas that you make on Chanukah are sudas or rishus. There's no chiv. Chanukah has a chiv simcha b'shei v'al tasa. They all have a chiv simcha b'shei v'al tasa. Means that there's an isa hesped v'tainas. So usually they say, call the tikkun rabban kein, there is a tikkun. So what in the world is it patterned after? So maybe it's patterned after Rosh Chodeshim, the Rosh Chodesh, Chalamoid has Simcha B'Kum Le'aseh, but Rosh Chodeshim only have Simcha, Chiv Simcha B'Shei V'Al Tasa. So mid the Rabbanim, when they made all the Yom Tovim and Megillas Tainus, perhaps it was patterned after that institution, that there is a concept of a Chiv Simcha B'Shei V'Al Tasa and Rosh Chodeshim. So maybe that's what all the Yom Tovim and Megillas Tainus are patterned after. Yeah, the Gemara says on Yom Tovim, Shabbos and Yom Tov, you have a chiyuv to have a suda. So therefore, if you leave out Ritzei Yalav Yov, you have to bench over because you're not yotze the suda. That's how you kaber the suda l'shem suda Shabbos. So Tosfos has a kasha on the top of Mem Tes Amin Beit. This is a famous Tosfos. There is a Gemara in Sukkah where there's a machlokes hatanaim. Rab Blazer in the Mishnah, Blazer ben Hurkanis. Blazer HaGadol is of the opinion, Yudalat Suda is Chayv, that's how he starts off. Maybe he changed his mind. Rashi says on the Gemara there, Chazaba Rab Blazer, he changed his mind. But originally he was of the opinion, you're obligated to have 14 meals in the Sukkah during the duration of Sukkah's why? Teshva Kein Todura. But Sukkah's Teshva Shivas Yamim. In the days of the Gemara, it was normal to have 2 meals a day, breakfast and supper. Maybe if he would live today, he would have said you have to have breakfast, lunch, and supper, 3 meals a day. But he lived in the days of the Tanoim, so they only ate 2 meals a day, breakfast and supper. So Teshuva came to Duru, in Mechuyev every day of Sukkot to have 2 meals a day. Sukkot is 7 days. So in higher mathematics, 7 times 2 is 14. So Mechuyev have Yudavet Sudas B'Sukkot. Why? Because Teshuva came to do it. Nechachamim, we don't paskan like Reb Blazer. We rarely paskan like Reb Blazer. The Gemara says, we rarely paskan like Reb Blazer because Reb Blazer shamutehu. So Tosfos quotes, Rashi also sometimes quotes the Yerushalmi. Reb Blazer was from the Beis Shammai. So we rarely accept the shitas of Beis Shammai. Once in a while, we paskan like Beis Shammai. Tosfos in the beginning of Sukkot, of Gimel Amud Aleph, quotes when the Siddur Rav Amram goen, that there are only some, well, the many disputes, Bisham and Bisil, there are only 6 cases, 6 halachas, but we pass on like Bisham against Bisil. We mentioned the Yudches Gzeris in the end of the first parak in Masecha Shabbos. The Mishnah says that there were 18 Gzeris of the Rabbanon towards the end of the period of the Bais Sheni, where the Bisham outvoted the Bisil. The Bisil was always the Rav. And one day, the Gemara says, the Bisham looked around, And they saw everybody from the Beis Hillel went to a bar mitzvah, an oifruf or something. There was nobody there. So they, like in Congress sometimes, so they brought up the issues and they voted and they outvoted the Beis Hillel. So you have another 18 cases where the din is like Beis Shammai. So why do you only say there were six? So the Gemara says there in the end of the first Perek on Shabbos, when the rest of the Beis Hillel came back the next day, they discussed it again and they all agreed with the Beis Shammai. So it's not that the Beis Shammai outvoted the Beis Hillel. The Beis Hillel also agreed with the Beis Shammai. But there were six cases where the Beis Hillel never gave in to the Beis Shammai. And still, the halacha in this kabla kashitas Beis Shammai. So that's why the Gemara says, we rarely paskan like Rab Lezer. Rab Lezer Shamutehu. He was from the Beis Shammai. Rashi in a few places writes, Rab Lezer Shamute, that they put him in Shamto. The Gemara says in Perek Hazov, they used to disagree with the Chachamim, and he used to tell him, you have no right to disagree with me, you don't know what you're talking about. I have traditions from the earlier generation, you people don't know the traditions. So he used to, and he used to say publicly, the others are not entitled to opinion to disagree with me, because Allah was in Kabbalah in the earlier generation. So his brother-in-law had to put him in Chayrim. Rabbi Gamliel was the chief rabbi, so Rabbi Gamliel put him in Chayrim. It was a tragic story. So that's what that's a Rashi. Rashi says, Rab Lezer Shamute, they put him in Shamto. There are two or three levels of there's Nidui and Cherem and Shamto. So the question, are they three different levels or Cherem and Shamto may be the same thing? Many assume there are three levels. There's Nidui, Cherem and Shamto. It says, Poritz Geder Yishachenu Nochash. If a person is Poritz Geder, if he violates Adin de Rabbanon, you should, he'll be bitten by a snake. So the Gemara has a lashon, he'll be bitten by the chibya the rabbanon, the rabbinical snake. Who is the rabbinical snake? What kind of a brand of a snake is that? So the word nachash is a Rashi Tev, is nidah cherem shamto. That's why the Beis Yosef has that lashon. I think the Rishonim have it ready. For its gedush, a cherem nachash deserves to be put in nidah a cherem a shamto. So shamto is the most severe form of cherem that you can have. Either there are two levels or three, either nidah cherem, so that's what it means that the Rab Lezer was put in Shamto. Yeah, Pasha Pshat and Nigmar is like that. The Radal, who put out an edition, Pirka, was one of the great Goinim in the late 1800s. The Netziv, as a teenager, used to correspond with the Radal. That's how the family discovered that he was such a big Talmid Chacham. The family thought he was a nitwit. He married the daughter of Rabbi Tzala Valozhina. Rabbi Tzala Valozhina was the son of Rabbi Chaim Valozhina. He was the Rosh Yeshiva. So he was a little boy. Then the Tziv came to Valozhin before his bar mitzvah. And then after his bar mitzvah, he married the Rosh Yeshiva's daughter. They didn't think highly of him. He didn't seem to be too learned. But then by accident, they came across the letters that the Radal had sent them. Radal didn't realize it was a little boy who was corresponding with him, a little, just a bar mitzvah bocher, 15 years old. So he wrote such titles on the letter, so then they realized that it was a big Talmid Chacham. He was an ista. Same thing with Rabbi Gifter. Rabbi Gifter was a student here in high school, an MTA. So he used to correspond with all the big rabbanim. He had a very fancy handwriting, he had a very fancy style of Hebrew. So they thought there must be a Rav. So they said, a Rabbi Goin, they all wrote, Al-Khor, a Rabbi Goin was a little boy, a high school student. But he wrote, he didn't identify how old he is, and he wrote the address here in the yeshiva. He wrote the address. He stayed in the dormitory, in the high school dormitory. So they thought they were corresponding, a big rabbi. He became a big rabbi later. Yeah. So the Radal, Rabbi David Luria, is a Rav in a big city in Europe, Biachov. So he put out an edition, it's not a critical edition, put out an edition of the Pirka de Rab Lezer with his He'oris. And he has a Hakdama. So he is pushing, Rab Lezer was the greatest Tana who ever lived. He's putting out the Pirka de Rab Lezer. And he says he thinks that Pirka de Rab Lezer was the first thing in Torah Shabbat Pet to be written down. He thinks it was written down before Megillas Tainus. Rashi writes in the first Perek of Masechet Shabbos, why is it called Megillas Tainus? Because it was written down at the time that the rest of the Mishnahs was still being recited Baal Peh. So the Radal is trying to push for his Sefer. He thinks maybe Pirkei de Rab Lezer was written before the Megillah Stein. It doesn't make a difference. Before or after, what's a big difference? Anyway, so he has a suggestion. How could they put his hero in Cher? He was the greatest Tana who ever lived. So he says, no. The Gemara says that after he died, then the Bezin said, Hutra Neder, Hutra Neder. The din is Misha Meis Biniduya, if someone died and he was in Cherem, Bezdin Sokolim Es Harona. The Bezdin has to demonstrate that he deserved Skila. So they put a big slab of stone on the Oren. And when they bury him, they have to be Mevazah him. So he says that's... So after Rav Lezer died, so they were Mata the Nidui, in order that they shouldn't have to be Mevazah after he's already dead. So the Loshan, they said, Hutar HaNeder. They should have said, Hutar HaNidui. Hutra Nida, why did they say Hutra Neder? So the Radal claims they never put Rav Lezer in Cherem. How can he put my hero in Cherem? He was the biggest Tana who ever lived. They took a Neder to treat him as if he was in Cherem. They took a Neder to person, but Cherem is a curse that the guy should drop dead. How are they going to curse Rav Lezer? He was a great tzaddik, a great goyim. He says they took a Neder, and he says, therefore you can't prove, that's a question in the Rishonim. Can you prove in this Gemara that if a person, Misha Meis bin Iduyo, that if you're mata the nidui after he's dead, how can he be mata? Maybe he can't be mata the nidui after the guy that he was meis bin iduya. You can't undo the mafreya. He was meis bin iduya. Maybe he's still circling misarona. Adi Gemara says they were mata. No, maybe they only took a neder to treat him as if he was bin iduya. So then hutar a neder. They're mata the neder, so they're not going to treat him anymore. But if the person was really meis bin iduya, you can't really prove from the Gemara. That's a question whether that's correct or not. So how do we get on to the topic of Rav Lezer? I already forgot what we started talking about. Nochemo. What? Yudal Tzudis, correct. So we rarely paskin like Rav Lezer. So we don't paskin Yudal Tzudis. And it could be Rashi learns the Gemara, Rav Lezer backed out also from the Yudal Tzudis. Okay. Machlokes is Rashi and Tez. The Gemara says he backed out from something. It's not clear exactly what he backed out from. So we paskin like the Chachamim. That what? Teshuva Kein Toduru. Like all year long, a person is obligated to eat breakfast and supper. If he wants to skip a meal, he's on tehei. He's going to eat snacks in the middle of the day. He doesn't have to eat the meal. They're just like teshuva kein tadur, just like all year long. If he doesn't want to, he's not mechuyev to eat the meal. So on the sukkahs also, if he doesn't want to, he doesn't have to eat the meal. Just laila harishon, that's all. Only laila harishon. So Tosfos says, but the Gemara says over here, that's the Gemara in sukkah. It says like that. Only Laila Rishon because of Xerushava Hamishasa Hamishasa from Chagamatzis. That one pasuk says you should eat matzah for 7 days. And one pasuk says, but Erev Tochla Matzis, you don't have to eat matzah the first night. So how do you blend in the two psukim? So it means that for 7 days you're not allowed to eat chometz. If you're hungry, eat matzah. But the obligation, you're obligated to eat matzah whether you're hungry or not, that's only the first night. So there's Xerushava Hamishasa Hamishasa. Not that you have to eat matzah on sukkahs, you have to eat pas, only the first night. The rest of sukkahs, you're not mechuyev. How can you say rest of the sukkahs not mechuyev? The Gemara says, on Shabbos and Yom, to you mechuyev. Shalosh Sudas, there's room to be mekel. Tosfos says, maybe Sudas Shlishis does need pas, maybe Midat Hagim is good enough. That's the re-raise of such a possibility. And therefore, if you forget the Ritzei, and Sudas Shlishis, maybe you wouldn't have to repeat the Brichas HaMazon, because you didn't have to have, you could have had a piece of gefilte fish, you would have said Bar Nefashis at the end. You wouldn't have mentioned Shabbos at all. So even if you had bread, you weren't Mechuyev to have bread. So you can't say that the Ritzei is Makkah. That's what Tosfos is not sure. Can you fulfill the mitzvah of Sudas Shlishis without pas? Or you answer with Mini Targima, yeah. But the Gemara would appear to say, forget about Sudas Shlishis. Balailo Bayom, there's a Chiyev to have a suda balayla, suda bayom with pasa. How can the Gemara say that? How can the Gemara say there in sukkah that the only laila harishon chamishas chamishas? Not true. You have to have two sudas. So Tosfos says you mechuyev to have two sudas mitam yontif, because yontif there's a chiyev to have a suda balayla, suda bayom. But mitam sukkah, you're only mechuyev the first night. Well, what's the difference? But you have to have a suda. You have to have a suda, pas, so you have to eat it in the sukkah. So Tosfos has two shades of an answer. So one version of the answer is, that's how the Rosh quotes, that's how the Tosfos and the other Masechta says, that the first night of sukkahs you have to have pas, even if it's raining. Even if it should be teshuva kein tadura. I mean, star is usually patam in a sukkah. So if it's raining, it's foolish, it's silly to sit in a sukkah in the rain. That's what Tosfos quotes the Talmud Yerushalmi, says, "Kol ha-patam an adaba v'yaseu nikra hedyot." If a person is exempt from sukkah because it's raining, and he's mitzar patam an sukkah, so he's considered an idiot. The word hedyot is a Greek word that comes from the word idiot. There's a Kohen Gadol and a Kohen Hedyot. A Kohen Hedyot means a plain Kohen. So a Hedyot means a plain person. He's a plain person. He's foolish. He's sitting in the sukkah. He's not yet saying anything. Nikra Hedyot, there's no kiyum. A lot of times we say, women are potter from yeshiva besukkah, women are potter from lulav, women are potter from shofar. But the rabbi in time says, if the woman wants to volunteer, she can say a bracha. They don't say, kol ha-potter maradovah say nikra hedyot. No, there's a kiyum, and she says a bracha. So how come over here, if it's raining, you say nikra hedyot, and over there the women can volunteer? So the rishonim work on that kasha. The Meiri and Baba Kama and Perek HaChevel quotes different answers. The standard answer today, which is not given by any of the Rishonim quoted by the Meiri, standard answer today is, it depends if there's a kiyum or not. If the woman is not mechuyev to shake a lulav, but if she shakes a lulav, she has a kiyum as an enem mitzvah v'yosef. So there is a kiyum, but if it's raining and you sit in sukkah, there's no kiyum. So we shifted the question. How do you know when there's a kiyum, when there's not a kiyum? Okay. But that's the official answer to the question. The Rishonim don't really say that answer. Maybe that's what they're driving at, but they don't. That's the brisk answer. Whenever there's a kim, you don't say nikra hedyot. Whenever there's no kim, then it's nikra hedyot. There's no kim. It's ridiculous. So that's one answer Tosfos gives, and the other Masechtos and the Rosh gives. If it's raining, you don't have to sit in sukkah because it's mitzar potam and asukkah and teshuva kein tadur. But the first night is not governed with teshuva kein tadur. Chamishasa from Chag HaMatzah. You have to eat matzah even if you don't enjoy it. Whether you like it or not, even got to choke on it. You got to eat the matzah the first night of Pesach. You have to sit in sukkah even if it's pouring, even if you don't enjoy it. That's the way it says in Shulchan Aruch. Even if it's pouring, you sit in sukkah and you say bracha leisha basukkah. Our practice is we don't say bracha. If it's pouring, you don't say bracha. But our Tosfos, Mem Tes Amud Beis, doesn't say like that. Our Tosfos has a different variation of the same answer. If it was pouring the first night of Sukkot, pouring, so you eat the house. Teshuva kein tadur, you eat the house, you're not going to gain anything by eating in the Sukkot. But then he finished eating, he ate the house, and he benches, and then it stops raining. And now it's comfortable, but he's not really hungry, he already ate supper. So if it's the first night of Sukkot and it stopped raining, then he's mechuyev to go in the Sukkot, eat again a second night. Even though normally he wouldn't eat a second supper. If a guy ate supper, and a guy ate, let's say he was traveling on the road, and he ate a sandwich on the road, then he comes home, and his wife offers him, you want to eat supper? He says, I ate supper already. He ate on the road when he was traveling. He's not going to eat supper a second time. But if it's the night of Sukkot, and it was raining, and he ate in the house, and then it stops raining, now it's comfortable, he's mechuyev to eat another meal because of chamishosa from Chag HaMatzos. But if it'll be, let's say, the morning of Sukkot, the next morning, and he comes home from shul, and it's pouring, so he eats in the house. Then he finishes eating, he should go sit in the benches, then it stops raining, he should go eat in the sukkah. Why? He's not hungry anymore. Why should he eat in the sukkah? The chiv to eat in the sukkah, even though you're not hungry, that's only belil chamishosah from Chag HaMatzos. So according to that version, according to the way it says in our Tosfos, there's never a kiyum to sit in the sukkah when it's raining. That's really a machlokes. What do you learn from Chamishasa? That the first night of Sukkah is there's a chiv achila b'sukkah, achila b'sukkah, whether mitzvah or not mitzvah. But he say no, it's a chiv yeshiva b'sukkah. So that's governed with the rules. Teshuva kein tadur. If it's raining, you're not mechuyev. The Vilna Gaon thinks that it's ridiculous. The Vilna Gaon holds like our Tosfos. He doesn't like that Tosfos that when it's raining, you have the Mechaber Paskin, you sit in sukkah in the rain and you say a bracha. So the Vilna Gaon thinks that does make any sense. More correct is the way it appears in our Tosfos. But it's a machloikas and Rishonim, two versions of what Tosfos says.
What's the
svar
of
the other Tosfos? It's a chiv achila. It's not a chiv yeshiva besukkah. If it would be the first night, it would be a chiv yeshiva besukkah. So then it's governed with the rule, teshuva kein tadur, only if it's comfortable. If it's not comfortable, there's no kiyum. But if you say, no, it's a chiv achila besukkah, just like achilas matzah. Achilas matzah, whether you enjoy it or not, even if you're going to choke on it, you have to eat the matzah. Unless you're going to choke, there's going to get sick. You're not mechuyev to do a mitzvah if you're going to get sick.
It's still not a chiv besukkah. The rest of the days, that wouldn't be an
achila b'sukkah. The rest of the days is no chiyav achila b'sukkah. It's a chiyav yeshiva sukkah. You have to eat and sleep in the sukkah, everything. So eating is part of sleeping. eating is part of living in the sukkah. So then you say teshuva came to dur. But the question is, the first night, even if you're not hungry, you have to eat in the sukkah. Is that a chiva? Achiva? It's achiva. You got to eat, even if it's uncomfortable. They say, no. The first night, there's a chiva to eat to fulfill the mitzvah of yeshiva sukkah. So yeshiva sukkah is only teshuva came to dur. That's how the... There's a sefer on Hilchas Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur and a little bit on Sukkot by Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolis. It's called the Mate Ephraim. He was a balabas who lived in Brod. He was more famous, his form are more famous than the rabbi. The rabbi in Brod wrote the sefer Lev Aryeh on Chulin. That used to be a classic. Now no one ever heard of it, but it's a fantastic sefer. But Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolis was world famous. He wrote Shuvas. He was a businessman. He was a wealthy businessman. He wrote Shuvas all over the world, Shuvas Beis Ephraim, and he wrote many other Svarim as well. So in Hilchas Sukkah, he raises a question that... there's a problem in the Rambam. How the Rambam paskens whether mitzvah tzrichas kavan, mitzvah ain't tzrichas kavan. There's a machlekes hatanoim and a machlekes hamaroim, and a question of psak halacha how he paskens. So there's a stir in the Rambam. The Rambam writes, "Kafu v'yochal matzah yotza." If the goyim hold the gun to my head the first night of Pesach and they forced me to eat the matzah, and I really didn't want to, but they forced me. I didn't have a mind to be yotza the mitzvah. I know today's Pesach, I know there's a mitzvah, but I was so nervous, I didn't have a mind at the time to fulfill the mitzvah. I didn't start Kiddush, Haggadah, I wasn't saying the whole CPs and Sam. They're just holding a gun to my head, they're going to kill me, and they forced me to eat Shmura Matzah on Pesach. So the Rambam paskens that you yotze. So it seems a mitzvah is ain't tzichas kavana. It was as kafur parsim, the goyim forced me to eat matzah, you yotze. Then the Rambam says, but if you hear Tkiyah Shofar from someone else, it only yotze if niskaven hashameya and niskaven hamashmiya. The one who's blowing had a mind to be moitzimi and I had a mind to be yotze. If I didn't have a mind, you're not yotze. So how come over there he paskens by Shofar, he paskens mitzvah sichas kavana? By eating matzah, he paskens mitzvah ain't sichas kavana. So Reb Chaim to the Ran has discussion. So Reb Chaim understood that the Rambam holds like the Balamor in Rosh Hashanah, that the rule is mitzvahs ain't tzrichas kavanah, but to say shamei ha-kohenah, he says, he's blowing the shofar, he's saying Kiddush. So he wants that I should be yotzeh shamei ha-kohenah, so for shamei ha-kohenah, his blowing shofar, his Kiddush should relate to me, is only if you have a mitzarev of kavanah ha-mashmeh v'kavanah ha-shamei. That's Rab Chaim interprets. Based on the Balamor, he said the Rambam holds like the Balamor. Problem is the Balamor svar is a very, in yeshivas today, everybody says like the Balamor. But it's against the Gemara. The Gemara never entertained such a... one never mentioned such a story. Balamor thinks once you get to the Maskana, that's the secret. But the Gemara never mentioned that. There should be a difference between doing the mitzvah yourself as opposed to Shamei Koine. Shamei Koine, his Amira, his blowing shofar, only relates to me if there was Kavanah Shamei or Kavanah Mashmir. It's a Svaradik Echilik, but the Gemara never made that. So the Ran gives a different difference. A different suggestion. The Ran says, the Rambam really paskens mitzvah strichas kavana. So therefore, bat kir shofar, if you didn't have kavana, lot says you're not yotze. Doesn't matter whether someone else is blowing shofar, you yourself are blowing shofar. You're blowing shofar just to practice. So the Rambam would say that you're not yotze unless mitzvah strichas kavana. But the exception to the rule is matzah because shekein nehena. What shekein nehena? Shekein nehena is a svara that the Gemara says benegir to misasek. The Gemara says if a person is mechal Shabbos ben misasek, a person mechal Shabbos ben ishoigeg, a person thought that you're allowed to carry a siddur on Shabbos. He thought you're allowed to carry a talus on Shabbos. The prohibition of carrying is only you shouldn't carry money, but he didn't think that it's also to carry the keys to your house that you need. So he thought that it's been, then he finds out you're not allowed to carry the keys either. Not allowed to carry a siddur either. So his mechal Shabbos b'shogi has to bring a chatas. What if he knows you're not allowed to carry, but he didn't realize that he had a handkerchief in his pocket, and he gets to the shul, and he finds out he carried. So that's called misasek. So misasek, you're not chayev, you're not even chayev a chatas. So the Gemara says, misasek means if a person did an aver b'shogi, which if he would have done it b'meiz, it would have been a chayev kor. So if you do b'shogi, you should be chayev a chatas. But he didn't realize, he didn't realize what he was doing. He didn't realize he had anything in his pocket, or he didn't realize all the facts of the case. Let's say he goes to sleep and he thought this was his wife. He's going to bed with his wife. Turns out that it's his sister. Turns out it's a different woman, an Ashes Ish. And he didn't realize that it's an Ashes Ish. So the Gemara says that should really be Misasek. It should not be Chayv Chatos. But Misasek, let's say he eats food and he thought that it was kosher food. It turns out that it was Chalev. He ate Chalev. So he ate the Chalev b'misasek. He didn't realize what the Chaticha was. He thought that it's kosher food. It turns out that it's not. It's Chalev. So that should really be Misasek. It should not be Chayv Chatos. So the Gemara says, Misasek b'chalovim u'barayis b'abiyas asuris u'macholos asuris misakas chayv shekein nehenem. So the Ran says that's the difference between eating matzah as opposed to tkiya shofar. But tkiya shofar, the Raman passes mitzvah sichas kavanah. It doesn't make a difference whether you hear shofar from someone else or you blow shofar yourself. If you take care to practice, you didn't have a mind to be yotze, you're not yotze. The Raman holds mitzvah sichas kavanah. But by eating matzah, since shekein nehenah, so then you say the act of eating the matzah relates to me, and it's not called the misasik. The reason why mitzvah tzichas kavana, because b'li kavana lotzeis, we label it as misasik. But misasik by matzah is yotzeh, because misasik b'chalovim shekein nehenah, because you ate the food in your nehenah. So Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolis raises a chakira. When you eat matzah the first night of sukkah, not matzah, you're eating in the sukkah, the first night of sukkahs, let's say he wasn't intending. He was hungry. He was hungry and he ate the meal. He didn't have a mind, l'shem mitzvah. So the Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolis raises the question, is it a mitzvah achila? Is the mitzvah achila? So then you should say shekein nehenah. So he's yotze even b'li kavana, if you use the Ran's klal. But if the mitzvah is yeshiva besukkah, one form of yeshiva besukkah happens to be to eat. That's going to be shekein nehenah. But in principle, yeshiva besukkah is not shekein nehenah. Not everybody has anah. Anah sagluf is on eating food and beer. On tashmish, that's shekeinah. So as a suffix, would you say shekeinah? Yes, the Rambam says shekeinah and achilas matzah. Kofu parsim yochal matzah is yotze, the Ran says in the Rambam, because shekeinah. Would you say shekeinah on yeshiva besukkah, the first night of sukkah? So is the mitzvah achila? Then you say shekeinah, or is the mitzvah yeshiva besukkah? So that's what we usually assume. That's the 2 days in the Tosfos and the Rosh, where they're eating in the sukkah the first night is a chayvas achila. So even if it's pouring, you still have to eat in the sukkah. It's a mitzvah achila. But you say, no, it's a form of the mitzvah of yeshiva b'sukkah. By matzah, it's a mitzvah of achila. But you learn chamishasa from chag matzahs, carries over to sukkah. So once it applies to sukkahs, it's not the mitzvah of achila, like achila's matzah. So it's achila besukkah. No, it's a mitzvah yeshiva besukkah. So then you wouldn't apply shekein nehenah. So that's what we usually assume is the 2 days, the machlokes. Yeah?
We'd be assuming that the sukkah has a shem sukkah. You know, we mentioned there's a rosh, but since it doesn't have in the rain, it doesn't have a shem sukkah, that would only be with a mitzad, that the whole purpose is to sit in the sukkah. Assuming there's an achila, so it has...
The Vilna Gaon has a very funny lotion. He says that when it's raining, it doesn't have a shem sukkah. What do you mean it's raining, it doesn't have a shem sukkah? What does it mean? So the simple meaning is that the mitzvah is not a mitzvah sachila, it's a mitzvah of yeshiva besukkah. So yeshiva has to be teshva kein taduru. But to say the sukkah doesn't have a shem sukkah, why doesn't have a shem sukkah?
So that, would that also mean that not, you know, that of the brach of the yeshiva sukkah, according to... the Rashi says that it's an achila on the first night. So you shouldn't, if it's raining, you shouldn't make a leishay besukkah.
You should lecho besukkah. Okay, it's a good. You shouldn't say a bracha at all. Well, we paskin don't say a bracha because we're not sure what the din is. Maybe the nochi of teet. According to Taita, it says there is no mitzvah teet in the sukkah when it's raining. Yeah. So we paskin you don't say a bracha, but in Shulchan Aruch the Mechaber paskin say a bracha. He's so convinced that the Rosh is right. You got to eat in sukkah, even if it's raining.
How can you make a leishah?
What?
How can you make such a rough? How can you say leishah for sukkah?
It's a good kasha. I don't know. It is a good kasha. Then we had this fascinating gemara on daf. Here's six lines from the top. A mem chesam and base. the nature of the Michel Bitzah, Bichas HaMosen, changed over the generations. When the Mon came down from heaven, Moshe Rabbeinu composed the first Bracha Hazanos HaKol. You don't have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving you Eretz Yisrael, because we didn't get it yet. Even though Avram Avinu walked around the borders, Kum Misal Baras L'Arka L'Rach Poki L'Choyet Tineno, and the Gemara says he was Koine Eretz Yisrael at that time. But L'maisa, B'Poyal Mamish, we didn't have it until after Yishuv Benum was Koivish Eretz Yisrael. So for the first 7 years at least, or maybe the first 14 years, after took 7 years Kibush and 7 years Chalukah, so they didn't have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Eretz Yisrael, they didn't have it yet. After they conquered Eretz Yisrael, they had it, so the Din Min HaTorah changed. Yishuv Benun had to compose the second bracha. But then they had to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim has a double aspect. It's the capital city of Eretz Yisrael, political entity of a political, there's a capital of a Medina. So Yerushalayim was established as the capital by David HaMelech. He was the Melech in Hebron for 7 years, then he was the Melech in Yerushalayim for 33 years, Sach HaKol 40 years, he was the Melech. So David HaMelech composed the first half of the third bracha. We thank you for giving us Yerushalayim. And Shlomo HaMelech, who built the Beis HaMikdosh, composed the second half. We thank you for giving us the Beis HaMikdosh. How do you know you have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving you Eretz Yisrael? Because the pasuk says, V'chalta v'so'ata v'rachto es Hashem alokecha al ha'aretz. You have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the food, al ha'aretz for Eretz Yisrael. Ha'aretz ha'toiva. And the word ha'toiva has the connotation ha'or ha'toiv hazeh the ha'levonon, has the connotation of Yerushalayim. That's what the Gemara says over here, based on the pasuk in Dvorim, chapter Gimel. Ha'or ha'toiv hazeh ha'levonon is a reference to Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim has a double aspect. So that's the third bracha. So over the years, the din deraisa changed, because the dinim and the chumash didn't begin. The din of thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us Eretz Yisrael began after they conquered all of Eretz Yisrael. The thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us Yerushalayim is only after Yerushalayim was established as the capital. And then after it was established as the makom of the Beis HaMikdash, then they had the obligation in HaTorah to add the second half of the third bracha. We do have other mitzvahs like that. So we had, the Gemara says on the first daf in Perikah Oril, that's in Yevamah's Dafai, and the Gemara says, Priya was not given to Avram Avinu. There are two oros on top of the orla, Evaha orla. So the outer or is a thick or, and the lower or is a thinner membrane. So Avram Avinu was only nitztaveh to remove the thick or ha orla. He wasn't commanded to remove the Or HaPriya. That only began in the days of Yishuv Benun, because the pasuk says when they came to the city Gilgal after they entered Eretz Yisrael, and right away after the death of Moshe Rabbeinu, Yishuv Malas Bnei Yisrael Shenis, they should be mal the Jewish people a second time. How can you mal a second time if you already did a milah the first time, so there's nothing left to cut? So the pasuk shad, one could have learned shat in the pasuk. There was a big national milah before Yetzias Mitzrayim. Then for 40 years in the Midbar, the weather conditions were such that many of the Shvatim, most of the people did not perform bris milah, because it was a bit of a safek sakona. So the din is nowhere near 50-50, but the din is whenever there's a far-fetched safek sakona, it depends on the person who is the mesukon. Depends on the patient. Is he nervous? Then it's called safek sakona. Is not nervous? Not called safek sakona. So the Levim had bitochen, and they were observing bris milah the whole time in the midbar. Ubrischa yin tzoyru. It says in Mezos HaBracha. Yorim hachtechali yankim v'sonsa. Ubrischa yin tzoyru, it says there. So they observed bris milah even in the 40 years of the midbar, because they had bitochen, they were not nervous. And the rest of the shvatim were nervous. So it was, for them, it was considered a safik sakona. So the pasha pshat is, Shuv Malas Bnei Yisrael is going to be a national bris milah in the whole nation. All the people have never had a bris for all the 40 years. But the Gemara understands more than that. Even the people who did have a bris milah, even the Shevet Levi had a bris milah, they had to perform a second bris milah. And even the baby, even the people who were over 40, who had a bris milah before Yetzias Mitzrayim, had to have a second bris milah, because from now on the din of Priya sets in. So Tosfos says they should have given the death penalty to Yishuv Benun. When he said that, he's a Novi Asheker. We assume men nova shalach hadash dava miyata. No, no, we have to Moshe Rabbeinu is believed to say that God changed his mind regarding mitzvah satara. If a novi says HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to violate one of the mitzvahs, lahirah shor, lemigda milsa. Okay? Even if the novi tells HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to smoke a cigar on Shabbos, it's mamash malacha deraisa, so you have to. Except Rabbi Dezor lahirah shor. God is never going to tell us to worship Rabbi Dezor, even lahirah shor. But any other mitzvah, the Hayra showed me, listen to the Novi. But the Yeshua Ben Nun comes and says, from now on, God wants us to do Priya all the time. When you do a bismillah, you have to do Priya. So that's a Chiddush Dover. Ein Novi Shalach Chiddush Dover Me'ata. Eila HaMitzvahs. Where's that Rosh? The first daf in Megillah. Eila HaMitzvahs. Where's the Pasuk? Eila HaMitzvahs. So the Mashiach is not sure. Is it the concluding Pasuk in Chumash Vayikra, the very last Pasuk in Mechul Kaisai, or is it the concluding Pasuk in Chumash Bamidra? They're practically identical, with slight shinuyim between them. The Netziv in his commentary on Chumash explains the shinuyim, what changed. That's a beautiful explanation, but it's not the same. Eila HaMitzvahs means these and no others. Only these mitzvahs that were given to Moshe Rabbeinu HaSinai, these are binding l'doris, and ein novi rasha l'chadosh dava miyata. That's the Rambam has the Yud Gimel Ikurei Amuna. So one of them is, Zosah Tor lo sehi machlefes. God, we assume God is not going to change his mind regarding the mitzvahs. So if another comes and he says, Baruch Hashem changed his mind, and from now on you have to do Mila with Priya, they should have given him the death penalty as a Novi Asheker. So Tosfos says that Kasha and Yevamos says, it must have been Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. They probably heard, they all heard from Moshe Rabbeinu, Le'esata, now you only do like Avraham Avinu did, you only do Mila. But the day will come in the future that a Navi will come and he'll say that now is the time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to do the Bris Mila in a more enhanced form, to do both Mila and Priya. And that from that time on, the din is Mal Balei Para, Kilo Lai Mal. It's a Mishnah in Tum Mesichtes. It's a Mishnah, not in Tum Mesichtes. It's twice in the same Perek. The Tosis Yontvam Mishnah says he never saw such a thing anywhere in Shas. The same line appears twice in the same Perek. If you did the mili, you didn't cut off the lower or the thinner membrane, so you're not yotzei the bris mila. Sometimes you have in two different mesichtas, a mishnah repeated, but the same mishnah twice in the same perik, he doesn't understand why. So Tosfos says that must have been told to Moshe Rabbeinu that the day will come that a navi will come and say it's time to change. The same thing the Gemara says, the maskanas Gemara in the second perik in Sanhedrin is. The script that we use for the Sefer Torah is called Ksav Ashuris. Why is it called Ksav Ashuris? So there's a Machlekes HaTanoim. So we assume Ksav Sha'ol Emohem Ashur. When they came back from Golda's Bavel, Bavel is Ashur, so they came back with this new fancy alphabet. So they reached to the Ritvo Es, Einov Rasha L'Charish Dov HaMeyata. What do you mean? Ezra comes and he says, B'nevuah, that the Rabban Shalom told me, Ezra was a Novi. Who? What is he? He's known by another name, Malachi. Malachi is the Ezra. It's the same person. The Radak says, how did the Chazal know that Malachi is the Ezra? Because Ezra always talks about my two associates here, Haggai and Zechariah. He never says a word about Malachi. The answer is he was Malachi. He had two names. Some people called him Ezra, some people called him Malachi. That's the Radak and Tanakh points out. That's how the Chazal and Rosh Hashanah knew that Ezra is Malachi. So they were told, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote in the Chumash, when you have a melech, every man has an obligation to write one Sefer Torah, everyone has an obligation to write a Sefer Torah. We paskin, we're mekel, if you have 100 people together, 1,000 people together, each one gives a dollar, so they can commission a Sefer, and they all write together, they write a Sefer Torah, so they're all yaitzeh b'shutfus. That's a machloikas in the Pischi Chuvin, Yeridea Chelu Gimel, Hilchas Ksiva Sefer Torah, Ayyuetz in the Mitzvah Ksiva Sefer Torah, Bishutfas. So the Gemara has a klal in Chulin, whenever it's written in Chumash Balash and Rabbim, like over here Kisva Lachem, then it means the Mitzvah can be fulfilled Bishutfas. So when it's written Balash and Yochid, you're not Yotze if it's Bishutfas. Some Achrenim say, so that's the klal. So you can be Yotze Bishutfas. And others say, not only do we not know how to Darshim Sukim, we don't even know how to apply the cloud that the Gemara said. The Gemara tells you the cloud, maybe for some reason or another, the cloud doesn't apply in this pasuk. So we're not sure. But that was the common practice for many years, that people didn't, only wealthy people, most people didn't write their own Sefer Torah. They relied on the fact that every 50 years, every community would commission a Sefer to write a Sefer Torah, and everybody would chip in $1, $5, whatever. So everybody would be at Sefer Torah B'Shutfas. So Moshe Rabbeinu said that every yochid has an, every male has an obligation to write one Sefer Torah. Melech has to write Mishnah HaTorazos, Sefer Torah Sheni. Mishnah HaTorazos, Meloshin Sheni. An additional Sefer Torah and a small one he should carry with him. The Melech should carry the Sefer Torah with him all the time. He has to read Bayom HaBalayla, Koli Mechayv, Mechayv HaYomim, Koli Mechayv HaLeilos. Has to learn Torah Bayom HaBalayla from the Sefer Torah that he has. So the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation, the Hainu, that when Moshe Rabbeinu gave the Jewish people the Torah, he said, Mishnah HaTorah Zos, there are two levels of interpretation of the word Mishnah. Mishnah means Sefer Torah Sheni, Miloshen Sheni, and Mishnah means Miloshen Shinoi, Ksab She'osed Lihishtanois. The script is going to change. A day will come that a Navi will appear, and he will tell you that it's time to change the Ksab of the Sefer Torah. So when Ezra appeared, Malachi, and he says, B'nevuah, I was told that it's time to change the Ksav and Sefer Torah. They weren't stunned. They had already heard from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu that it's going to be a Ksav Shosid Lishtanis. So it changed at that time. All of these things changed already. The benching has already been changed. The Brismila has already been changed. The Ksav of the Sefer Torah has already changed. The Rambam writes there's only one mitzvah that has yet to be changed, that it says in the Sefer Torah that it's going to be changed. That's how many Ori Miklot you have. So for so many centuries, we only had six Ori Miklot. And then it says in Chumash Dvarim, Ki Yachad Hashem Elokechus Gevulcha, and Eretz Yisrael will expand, we'll have Eretz Yisrael HaShleima, Yosafta Lecha Od Shalosh Olim, Od Shalosh Orim Al HaShalosh Eile. They should add on another three. In addition to the six Ori Miklot, they'll add another three to make a sum total of nine Ori Miklot. Doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to have more murderers, more people killing B'Shogeg, that we need more cities or a miklot, means the Jewish Medina, the Jewish people are supposed to be orla goyim. We're supposed to show the goyim. We should have hospitals. We should have garbage collection. We should have a Rosh HaMemshalah who shouldn't be sitting in prison. We should have a chief rabbi who's not sitting in prison. We should have members of the Knesset who should not be indicted for criminal activities and for taking bribes and so on. We're supposed to show the nations of the world how you run a nice Medina. The street should be clean. That's what they have on the soda bottles. On the cap it says, Shmor al nikayon ha'aretz. Don't throw your soda bottle in the street. So everything in the garbage can, everything should be neat and clean. So that's what it means. We're supposed to be all agoyim how to run a beautiful country. Yeah, we haven't fulfilled that charge yet. Yeah, so this is so we want to show that there's an institution of Ori Miklot. We have to provide Ori Miklot for people who killed B'Shogeg. It doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be used. Officially, we officially have to have hospitals. Maybe no one will be sick, but you have to have a hospital in case someone gets sick. You have to have a hospital. You have to have a jail in case you have to put someone in jail. You have to have Ori Miklot in case you have Kohargim B'Shogeg. But it doesn't mean that we're going to have more murderers. We just have to show the world we provide for every possibility, for every eventuality. So the Rambam writes that's the one and only mitzvah that has yet to be changed. Then the Gemara has, not only do you have to recite Birchas HaMazon after you finish eating, you have to recite Birchas HaNenen before. So we assume Birchas HaNenen is only Midirabbanan. That's the first daf in Ketz of Mevarchim. The Gemara says, Svarahu. Also, the Hanus Marel Mazab Balei Bracha. So the Pnei Yeshua said, Luli, the Mistafin, if he weren't afraid to disagree with all the Rishonim, he would have said, Svara is their Isa. But in the Rishonim, we assume that it's only a Svara de Rabban. Also, the Hanus Marel Mazab Balei Bracha is a Svara de Rabban. So the Gemara has over here, Amem Chesam at base, by the wide lines. They have the narrow lines and wider lines, and very wide lines. So by the wider lines, the Gemara says, Gemara quotes from Sefer Shmuel, that Shmuel HaNavohi Baruch Es HaZebach. He's going to say the bracha. So you see from there that the institution of Birchas HaNenen preceded the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. It was way, all the way back, at least from the days of Shmuel. The problem is an obvious problem. Rashi said, what's Hu Baruch Es HaZebach? Asher Kishonam Mitzvah Yitzvah Lechal Es HaZebach. That's a Birchas HaMitzvah. That's not a Birchas HaNenen. How can you establish based on that pasuk that there's a din of brichas hanen. So that's a major problem. Then it's also a pella. What do you mean a brichas hamitzvah is deraisa? Brichas hamitzvah existed in the days of Shmuel. Usually some brichas hamitzvah was introduced also by the Anshei Knesset HaGdolim. So that's what the Mishkan Es Yankiv writes in the Sefer on Brachas. Ka'el Es Yankiv, he thinks that brachas in connection with in Yoni Kiddusha existed way before. Hu yivarech es hazevach. He's going to say the brachas hamitzvah on the korban. The korban has kedusha. So brachas on kedushin, getting married, has an element of kedusha, introducing kedusha in your life. The Gemara says also vayivarech es rivka. When Eliezer clinched the shidduch between Yitzchak and Rivka, so it says vayivarech es rivka. So pashim shad, they gave her a bracha. She should have a tzloch and a married life. So the medrash Tesis in the first parak in Ksubis quotes a medrash brachas rivka. They said brachas erusin. Because Erison existed in the days of Eliezer and Rivka. So that's what the Mishkan Es Yankiv suggests. Maybe it means because marriage has an element of Kedusha, so maybe a Brocha thing, and Yoni Kedusha, maybe is the rice. Maybe. It's a Chidush. It's a Chidush. Okay, cheerful Gemaras. Cheerful Gemaras. Story with Yana HaMelech we discussed quite a few times, so I didn't have a chance to review that. Okay, so we'll be netted tomorrow morning about bright and early, 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock we'll have the Pchina here. Tov. Okay, and then Tuesday we're going to start giving shir on miscellaneous topics. Mordechai is going to announce what the topics are. And then I guess after Shavuos, which is coming very soon, today is the beginning of the 6th week already in Sfiras Ayman, so the 7 weeks. So soon, right after Shavuos, we're going to go back to start Perek. What's Perek? Enoimdin, I think. From Daf Lamed on the base. And after we finish, that's what we didn't finish last time. After we finish Enoimdin, which ends on Lamed Dalet on the base, then we'll go back to Perek Eledvarim. Eledvarim and try to complete the Masechta. Okay. No, tomorrow is no shir. Tomorrow is the final. But Tuesday there'll be a shir. What time is good Tuesday for the shir?
12 o'clock.
Approximately 45 minutes or so, something like that. Okay. Tov.
If we say that Torah Meitiv is deraisa,
yes.
So what is the theme? I mean, what's the theme?
Thank you, Kaddish Baruch Hu, over everything. Over everything. General thanksgiving.
General thanksgiving.
First, Baruch Hu, thank him for the food. Second, thank him for himself. Third, Baruch Hu, thank him for the life.